It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here again, and we're going to be talking about cats and rats and bats and frogs and toads and witches and, you know, all of the anything that starts with witch, sounds like witch, we'll be talking about it, whatever switch way you want to. But anyway, as you know, we talked last week about this, the proposal by the Department of Land and Natural Resources to kill cats and or destroy cats, and at the quote harbor area or land under their jurisdiction. And we quite naturally, as always, what happens, you learn real quick that the Department of Land and Natural Resources, like many other state agencies and federal agencies, they only talk at the people. They never talk with them. They demonize them. And then in that process, they miss one key point. You're doing the will and the work of the people. But for some reason, they're able to extract themselves from that role and serve as gods and kings and dictators, and because of some science that says that this is what we need to do, and I'm a firm believer in science, but here in Hawaii, we have so many examples of where science took the back door of politics and business and money and agriculture and tourism. And so what we see here is, it's a fancy way to do things, and that is when an agency wants its way, it does what it really wants to do, and it puts in place. And then it sends its attack dogs out. And those attack dogs could be well-trained or simply poorly informed or anything, but you give them a little trinket or a little grant or something that they may be, that might entice them. And you find yourself doing that and caving into that. And in this situation here, this new development, I see a lot of geniuses coming and sprouting up, and I won't name any of them, but you'll know yourselves when you're friends with Dan Dennison on Facebook and all. And so, and then there's this element that introducing the Native Hawaiian issue into the argument. And I ask one thing: be sincere to yourself. If you don't want to be sincere to the rest of us, be sincere to yourself. Why aren't you raising hell about mongoose? Why aren't you raising hell about snakes, the population of snakes that are established here? Why aren't you raising hell about many of the other, the tourist business? I mean, if you want to be vile and speak out and support the DLNR, go down there and resolve the bacterial levels and what have you at the health department in all our state waters, the fecal matter from human beings and cows and cattle and all of that. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm rather disappointed in many of you because, you see, it's one thing when Suzanne Case wants to do something. It's another when she get you to do her bidding. And people have the right to speak out and ask questions. And especially when it's a government action. And I don't mean to lecture you about that. You know what you expect from your government. You know what is reasonable and what is offensive, and what you seem you would take as an affront to your beliefs. So this matter with the cats, and you hear, well, there are some gentlemen are saying that there's a bounty and all. Well, let me just tell you, there's always been a bounty because, first of all, you're starting from nothing and you're killing something for hire. And all that, the bulk of the debate and the people raising issues, whatever you do, do it humanely and make it be responsible, make it ethical. But no, there's this big argument. Let us shoot it. Let us take a pellet rifle. Let us take a rifle or a 17 caliber rifle and shoot wherever we want to with night scopes or the IR, you know, and then in turn, that's the way we will take. You might be kidding yourself, because whoever told you that you're going to be successful in remedying the, quote, problem of cats, you're lying to yourself, and you're just a welfare brat that wants money for nothing to kill something, because you'll never, ever, ever, ever take all the cats out of it. I don't care if you're using the best bait, the best gun, the best tactics. It's just you can't do it, because upstream, people are still introducing them. And so let's be real about it. And we're going to be entertaining calls here shortly, but I want to, I noticed we had a call earlier, but you have to be patient for a minute, and I'll let you know when we can call. But in the vein of that I was speaking earlier, let me just tell you the style. And we must put a face, like many of you, and I too find it painful to witness and look at photographs of dead animals that have been inhumanely killed or just slaughtered by some person that is irresponsible, by their dogs or what have you. If you think looking at the pictures is painful and distasteful, try taking the pictures. And if you don't take, if you don't muster up the nerves to take the pictures, or the stomach to take the pictures, then how can you converse or convey the real situation within it? Someone has to do the dirty work, as nauseating as it is. So I posted a number of pictures up at Carol Cox Facebook, and with the purpose of letting you see the real McCoy, not. I don't want you to think that we exaggerate, because our dearest of friends at the Department of Land and Natural Resources has a knack for calling you out. And it's so comical, because when they call you out, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You got a rhinestone and calling out a diamond. And that brings me to, I want to share with you, if you go to Carol Cox Facebook, you can see a posting and a video up, and we'll talk extensively about that shortly. And it all relates to the mindset, the attitudes of people working for the DLNR, or the Department of Land and Natural Resources. But I want to share with you, after me posting certain documents up in a statement and pictures about the cats and the situations surrounding them and the new developments, or the sneaky way that things are being presented by the DLNR. So here's an email, and its subject is BLNR Facts, from Dan W. Dennison, September 10th, 2017. 5:43 a.m. See, they get up with the birds, man. You know, so, and Mr. Dennison goes on to say, here's a factual account of the land board's action on Friday, as reported by AP. Land board approves state boating laws. And Mr. Dennison goes further to write and say that, the accurate way of describing this is that, without any fake news and suppositions and, making claims that are not true, suggesting that the statements that I had made were not true. And I'm all right with that. If one makes those claims, but you better damn well be able to back it up, and you better be able to say that you are only doing this because you think that you're more powerful than the people whom you serve and work for. But many people find themselves in the headlights of honest people, and they have a hard time dealing with people like myself or the general public, because we're not playing games. We're respecting life. We're respecting process. And if you have thousands of people to go in and testify on in favor of something, and only 50 or so to go in, 50 to go in and testify for, and thousands against, you have to give weight to that number or those numbers. So this statement, going on now to speaking of Mr. Dan Dennison's, and he's the senior communications manager at the Department of Land and Natural Resources, government, you understand. So Mr. Dennison, in response to my postings on my Facebook, he decided to go out, and a few other people posted. And just share with you, on September 10th, 2017, at 12:42 p.m., Hawaii Standard Time, he writes, here is honest, fact-based, accurate reporting of what the land board decided, not based on gossip, supposition, hearsay, anonymous reporting, and fake news. And attached to that is the an article. I won't call it an article. It seemed, I don't know if it was even printed, but the Associated Press, he attached an article. We'll call it an article from the Associated Press. But, and for those of you familiar with this, I won't, don't want to insult you, but those of you that are not, when an agency wants to spread its word or its manure, it calls up reporters who, you know, don't have the time to go out and really dig, but they really need a story or what have you. And so here's a willing and able-bodied person to tell you everything. So quite naturally, it's an easy buck. So you write a story. And apparently someone is at Dan Dennison's disposal to just up and write articles and not considering or interviewing or getting the other side, just whatever the government feeds them. And that's okay, too. We're not going to hold that against you. But when we hear these terms, or especially, I mean, anonymous reporting and fake news and all, so I decided, let's take a walk down Happy Lane. And what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. And you wonder, why would a person such as Dennison behave in such a fashion and assault the public's intelligence by striking out at them for speaking, exercising their rights of free speech? If you have an issue with accuracy, then you present the facts that would set the record straight. But you can refrain, hopefully, from chastising the general public or people that you are not of your ilk, or not of your scam, or not of your skills, but you still respect them. So I decided to take a walk down Happy Lane and decided to go back, and with the assistance of Tina Quizon of Paradise and Pathway to Paradise, she assisted me in doing some research, and we gathered some information. And it says that Dan Dennison has a quite colorful past and a present that he feeds on. And clearly this tactic that he employed or decided to rely on to strike out at me for writing the truth and expressing my opinions and observations and what others have shared with me, that was rather motivating, to say the least. So I got to looking at this and that and every little other thing, and an interesting thing that we find. Things, I should say. Now, Mr. Dennison was a news director back at one of the television stations in Roanoke, Virginia. And Mr. Dennison, during that period of time, found himself placing on, you know, we want to be accurate, and I'm not going, we're going to post the FCC rulings, as we're going to talk about, up on the website at carolcox.com. And Mr. Dennison is so into his job as news director, he oversaw the production of a news story. And this news story, as many argue, has no significance or meanings. Nobody complained about it. It wasn't newsworthy, and many people in the community and professional positions said that, what's the story? Well, it involves a Mr. Dennison takes up on himself and his station, and they produce a news story basically exposing, we'll call it exposing, that's not because the person wasn't doing it. A young lady was a former porn star, and she wanted to become a EMT in one of those small towns there near where they work. And Mr. Dennison felt that apparently there was newsworthy. And in the process, you know, you got to be accurate and factual, and you don't want to have supposition. You don't want to use fake news or fake pictures. So they apparently, in this structured building and production of this news story, Mr. Dennison and others there and this, working for the TV station under his guidance as the news director, put in place relied on and used video showing and depicting explicit sexual behavior. Now, you can use your imagination and figure out what. I'm not going to insult you, or I don't think it's I'm just not in comfortable with, but no, it's not that one. It wasn't that shot. No, okay, maybe you're getting close, but yeah, that's the image that they included in their news story. And let me just tell you, the town was asking the question. So this is from Roanoke Times, July 16, 2012. Station management at WDBJ-TV Channel 7 spent the weekend battling local and national criticism after reporter Justin McLeod's story about a former porn actress who is now a volunteer EMT for the Cave Spring Rescue Squad. McLeod's story about Harmony Rose on July 12th included the line, quote, just Google her name and you'll find hundreds of pornographic videos of her. To some, the sentence seemed to be a recommendation for viewers. The sentence was removed from the WDBJ website, just as several national sites, including the New York Daily News and Jim Romanesco's widely read media blog, pointed it out. Romanesco, a longtime journalist who worked for the nonprofit journalism school of Poynter Institute before resigning last year, criticized WDBJ for, in his opinion, being, quote, more than happy to help viewers find porn videos, end quote. In response, WDBJ news director, drum roll please, Dan Dennison commented on Romanesco's blog, quote, if you are interested in accuracy, heard that word before? Perhaps you should have checked to learn that there was never a link posted to a porn site. The link on the station's page went to Google's main site and not to a list of pornographic videos. You see, when you're dealing with people that have been hanging around at various places, they bring unique strategies to government. You see, because government is honest as a day is young. It's just that they find that it's fertile and could be manipulated, and the situations can be manipulated because people get in, get appointed as chairman. They were going to set out to get their political favors and flavors and then leave people like Dan Dennison untethered, and they can just have run roughshod over the rest of the people. So the video version of McLeod's story is no longer on WDBJ, right? So anyway, Dennison defended the station's reporting in an email sent to the Roanoke Times and to some viewers who contacted the station after the report. Quote, as the news organization, this is Dennison, we often report on people who have been entrusted, whether by appointment, election, or volunteering, with public safety and health, end quote, he wrote. We have reviewed this story closely based on viewers' comments. And in the story, we interviewed many local people who have no issues with the EMS volunteer's past and point out that she may be doing something to change her life in a positive way. The story drew more than 640 Facebook comments and more than 115 WDBJ's website. Many comments were supportive of Rose. Others criticized WDBJ for airing the story. And here's Dennison again, quoting, while some viewers objected to the fact this was reported at all, Dennison said, when county officials express concern in writing about a particular issue, we feel we have the responsibility as news organization to bring these concerns to public attention. Really? Hold that thought now. And remember, he felt that it's good to bring, and though nobody complained, it clearly other professionals didn't see a story in it, and it wasn't offensive. But Dennison and others, under his watch or his direction as news director, went ahead and produced this god-awful news story that violated the FCC, apparently, rules. And there's a notice of apparent liability for forfeiture. And it was adopted March 20th, 2015. It was released on March 23rd, 2015. The introduction. The commission is charged with enforcing federal laws prohibiting the broadcast of obscene and indecent programming. Consistent with that responsibility, in this action, we propose the maximum available forfeiture of $325,000 against WDBJ Television for apparently broadcasting extremely graphic and explicit sexual materials, specifically a video image of a hand, and we won't go any further than that. You use your own imagination if you've ever watched one of those movies, or if you have lived life, you would know. So the broadcast at issue occurred during a news program on station WDBJ DT, Roanoke, Virginia, at approximately 6 p.m., a time at which children were likely to be in the viewing audience. Our actions today advances the commission's goal of protecting children and the public in general from the broadcast of clearly indecent sexual material. Now, you heard that it was just a sentence and all. No. It wasn't just a sentence. And then the argument was, the defense was, well, it didn't show more than 3 seconds. Wait, at first you say there was nothing. Now there's 3 seconds of an image and on and on. But I'm laying this out for you to share with you. This is how corrupt, irresponsible the Department of Land and Natural Resources is. The way it behaves, it wouldn't give a darn about what the voting public say or what the majority of people say. So many of you out there that are shocked that they didn't respond to you because your numbers overwhelm the support group, they're already predisposed of what they want to do. And they do that by incorporating people that have the expertise and wordsmithing and changing the words, deflecting, changing the subject. And this is what Mr. Dennison, it appears, is a great strategist at this when there's something, as I've pointed out, does not fit well with their scheme. sent out the attack dogs. But some people have steel legs. He don't know that. Don't tell him. That means that they're not afraid of being bitten in the leg. So, in the notice of apparent liability, we find that it did air the graphic sexually explicit material over the station on July 12, 2012, at approximately 6 p.m. in apparent willful violation of federal restrictions on the broadcast of indecent material. Now, one of these video clips displayed in the box contains an image of a sexual activity involving manipulation of the blah, blah, blah. Although the box does not show the entire body or the face of the apparently nude male depicted, the image shows a hand moving and blah, blah, blah. WBDBJ asserts that this image was displayed for less than 3 seconds. Get that. Less than 3 seconds. But earlier, Dan Dennison and his didn't happen. It was just but then they pulled it down. So I'm probably you're asking, what's the relationship and what's relevant about this? Well, see, these are people that make policy. And these are people that have and rely on people like Dennison to convey that policy and to talk you and walk you and lull you into thinking that every time that someone objects to them, that person is inaccurate, that person is in need of an advanced article written by AP, and so distribute that to show that this is the truth, and what these people like Cox are saying is not the truth. It's fake news. it's quite funny. Get a life, that's what I would say. The licensee argues that the broadcast of this, quote, extremely fleeting and partial image of during the news story does not violate the rules and does not provide any basis for enforcement action. First, WDBJ argues that it lacked notice that the commission could find such material indecent, especially in the context of news broadcast of a story of interest to the community. So let's get this right. The only thing they say is some people, but I didn't see the letters, that some people were expressing concern that this young lady, which is her right to do whatever she wants to do, wanted to become an EMT and went down. Nobody complained. No one did anything to say that she had committed fraud and lied on her application or anything, or representation. So there was no story, according to many experts. But there was a story for Dan Dennison as a news director. How about that? So, in this regard, WDBJ contends that the commission issued a public notice of 2013 seeking comment on its indecency policies without clearly articulating the standards that would apply to indecency enforcement or whether the indecency policies would or would not apply during the pendency of the comment period. Further, WDBJ notes the brevity of the image and asserts that the image was therefore not actionably indecent under judicial precedent. Finally, WDBJ summarily asserts that the commission indecency laws are unconstitutional. Hold that thought, because we want to know where does Mr. Dennison hail from, because he's now in our lives, and I'm just quite curious, because I believe every person, their background, you want to interview me, I'll tell you everything about me. But when you're working for government and then you step out of that box where you think, well, people, the normal process is that people get to express themselves freely. They are to expect good decisions from government. Not perfect decision, but good decision, sensible decisions, and all of those things. But when you have to inject nonsense and then hire someone that is clearly have a background of subterfuge, filled with subterfuge. And that's not my claim. That's here in this document. Now, that's just one. Now, that was, while that was going on, in the same year, basically, we're just talking about personalities, and I've basically asked to have a meeting with Ms. Chase, and I've extended an invite to Mr. Dennison to come on the show, but we don't rank. For some reason, I don't know what it is, folks. I was thinking about changing my cologne, you know, and taking a bath maybe 5 minutes before I get to meet with him, or maybe something, I don't know, but it seemed to be able to meet with everybody but me. So I understand. I promise I'll take a bath if you meet with me. But until then, we'll make do. So now I know that many of you probably was going to get to the cats. This is about the cats, the rats, the bats, and frogs, the toads, and everything there is, because these people that we're talking about have control and say and write laws and all of that influence by these rules. So if you go to carolcox.com and you go to Carol Cox Facebook, you will find that there is a video up there, and this video is about a news story that basically it says a Catawamba. The story is, now you'll have to Google it. Google President Obama, monkey, and Dan Dennison or something like that. But it's not on the TV station's website. They took it down. But it's still out there, apparently, by some Google link. So we Google it. And I'm not going to bore you, but Mr. Dan Dennison was a news director at that time when this quote, news story. Once again, another news story that has no news. It didn't say man is wrongfully or insulting and people are complaining, insulting Obama or doing things or threatening Obama or whatever, because the man was just basically exercising his rights. I mean, if you were to take a mask and put over my face and call me monkey, there was little I could do. That's just the way it is. So no newsworthiness in this story. Now, this is under the watchful eye of Dan Dennison, news director. He also worked here. And I might add, they did a story, and it's a sad story because it involves, some of you might know and may not know, that the gentleman that was that shot and killed the news reporter and the cameraman on the mainland there, Vesta Flanagan, or Bryce William, his TV name was, and he was an employee of Dan Dennison, all during the same time. And this young man said that his allegations were that he were used a word for some of you sensitive ears and all, the N-word, and refer to people as monkeys, to black people as monkeys. And Dennison is quoted saying on TV here and other places, oh, we did a thorough investigation. But he was one of the people of being accused. This person accused many in the station and what have you. So here's the bottom line. Dennison is a news director. The story was produced under his watch as news director. The man is clearly saying on there, Obama is a monkey. And there's dressed a monkey statue like Obama. And Dennison is depicting this monkey as through this story as, and I mean, if you can sit there and scratch your head until it bleed, and you still won't find the newsworthiness in it. But again, I want you to listen up and listen clearly, because, you know, whether you get the point or you might start thinking, well, you know, this guy's talking, it's okay with me. You know, there's many other options. You can go to other stations or whatever, but the truth is the truth is the truth. And so Dan Dennison, after airing the story, then went and commented on his and posted apparently the story there on his Facebook. And Dan Dennison said this about the story, quote, shoot, I didn't mean to like this story. So apparently he hit like to the story on his Facebook. Then he said, I mean, our reporter did a good job, but I pushed the wrong button somewhere. But then on that Facebook account as well, he has another comment, and others commented. If you assume that man evolved from ape, not saying they did or not did not, then that would mean all mankind evolved in this manner and not any specific race. If one's race is offended, it truly is a personal issue that cannot be resolved by others. So very loose with this. Now, that's two incidents under his watch. And yet, when you talk to everyone here, he's the best thing since sliced bread. But Mr. Dennison has some very serious conflicts, and we're going to get to those conflicts. We want to know that there are some instances where he's writing, responding to these people. He writes, Jim, if you're interested in accuracy, perhaps you should have checked to learn that there was never a link posted to this porn site. That's the way he act. That's the way he behold. So hold that thought. We'll entertain a caller. So caller, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I'm just calling about that bill, the amendment that mm-hmm. the DLNR has on Ige's desk, and how important it is for everyone to call Governor Ige. And the number and the website is on your Facebook. And stop him from signing that DLNR amendment, because it is just wrong on so many levels. And that deception, I noticed right away about toxoplasmosis being dramatized and brought up, and the cats and their pounding. And it was calculated deception by folks that just don't want cats outside at all. But killing the neutered cats is actually going to be crazy. It's not going to do a thing about toxoplasmosis. It's just going to help them further their agenda of demonizing, and they're not seeing the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
The whole picture includes the fact that that the cats actually have a benefit. The ones that are already neutered have, you know, a role minimizing rats and rat poison that kills our owls. And I've, you know, seen how much slantedness is really, really horrible, how they're trying to say, oh, toxoplasmosis in the harbor cats. And I went down to the harbor. I went down to Tehi Lagoon, and there was no cat shit anywhere. There was nothing. And then I looked, you know, when it rains, all the groundwater, how much toxoplasmosis is from the stream. The harbor cats can't be significantly more than a fraction of a percent of any ocean toxoplasmosis. But that's a scheme. That's a way to make the government say it's okay, oh, it's a health risk. Oh, you know, don't listen to these people who stepped in when they saw breeding cats. Now, DLNR is supposed to be removing breeding cats, but there's breeding cats. So these people spend their own money, and they do something, and they fix them. And now, you know, they're being slapped in the face, and the cats that they did neuter, I saw some of them when I went to Tehi Lagoon. There's little pockets of neutered cats, and there's this lonely security guard at a guard shack. He said, oh, yeah, there's only six here. He says, it's okay. And the people that actually fix those cats are just, you know, keeping that security guard shack, you know, company and getting rid of the rats. They can't come back and take those cats. They're helping everyone neuter the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll ask others to call in if they have any idea. What's the solution? What would they recommend doing?
Well, at least grandfather in those ones and not, you know, the people did something. You know, I mean, the ones that are fixed. And not only that, if they don't scan for a microchip, how many pet animals are going to get killed because they just want to kill all the animals? Some neighbors will say, oh, I don't like the neighbor's cat. I'm going to go dump them at the harbor. Yeah, DLNR will kill them, and then I don't have to worry. They'll never know. They never got, you know, the chance. They just, they take, and that's not just something I made up. That's happened. Yeah. They dump neighbor's cats. I've seen that, you know, or the cat walks on their car. And,
right.
You know, I don't like our neighbor's cat. I'm going to go take him to the harbor. And that's why they need to be scanning for a microchip down there, another reason. And then the other reason would be that, you know, those fixed cats, they only shed toxoplasmosis once in their entire life. And then they're going to have more toxoplasmosis because every single time a new breeding cat comes in, that niche gets taken, that area that it's just a constant supply of new naive cats or cats that are able to spread and spread again. And, I mean, even if it did go in the water and you're worried about that, which is a fraction of the percent, like I said, that doesn't even make sense.
So how does one screen the, quote, cats that are breeding?
The breeding cats, they can kill the breeding cats if that's their.
I mean, how does one know that they're breeding cats? What would they?
Well, they don't have a notch in their ear.
Okay.
They don't have a notch in their ear, but they still should be scanned because that might be someone's pet.
Right. So because even though you rely on a notch in the ear of a spayed, neuter, trap, release participant, we'll call it, that's one way of knowing it. But if you are a pet owner and you had your pet neutered, but you don't get him, they don't clip the ears in those situations, some of them. So your neighbor snatches it up. Or what happens is that I'm informed that some of the exterminators or people that trap them, and see, there's a whole list of things that before, what I would suggest before anybody agree to anything with the DLNR, know your facts and know the process, because you got to get a permit to kill them, number one. But when you get a contract, what are you guided by? Do you have to make a report? Do you have to give the chip numbers? Do you have to scan for them? Do you have to show disposition or deposition or what happened with the cat once you trapped it? Or are you just hired to trap cats and that's all there is, in sight, out of mind, it's out of sight, and so therefore there's cats? You follow. So that's going to be something that people should be, if you want to address the issue, ask the State Department of Land and Natural Resources. Just that process, when they issue the permit to take or kill these animals, or when they contract, what is going to happen? What's the procedure? Is there a record? Do they record? Or do you see an increase in population down at the harbors or anywhere else where they trap them here? Now imagine if you're on state land and nobody's watching you, you don't have any specific rules or procedure, you just hire and get money and give them heads or tell them you call 20, 30, and where do you release them? So you're creating a business for yourself. There's that potential. Let me try and get this call here for a minute.
Okay.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Carol? How are you?
Fine. You have any comment to what we're talking about?
Not really.
Okay, so anyway, I'd be able to talk to you at the coffee shop if you find the time, but we're on some hot and heavy subject here, right, Jill? So these are the kinds of things that when they, the state I heard saying, we're going to work with the caretakers or the cat givers or the people that feed them. Don't get lulled in that. Make sure that you get, you know what you're agreeing to and what practices are you agreeing to. And how fallible, the fallacy is that there's not, the ultimate process at the end of the day, they want to kill it because it's less time invested. The easiest way is what they're seeking to do. They don't have time to stand around, as they put it.
I read that, Carol. Can I just say how I couldn't believe how deceptive that was? Because, yeah, I was involved and I went to the hearing. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the opposite of what they're not. What they're saying is that that they're trying to get Humane Society to, so they don't have to kill cats. They're saying they're going to have to, that the state has to find a place for all those cats, and that's why they're given, you know, a year to for the state to find a place for all the cats after those cats have been neutered. Where they're at, they're all wild cats, most of them, and they find homes for the ones that aren't wild, that can be adopted out. But, I mean, can you see how deceptive it is to say, after everyone is saying, please just let us leave those cats, and you know, we'll the neutered ones aren't doing any of those things that the breeding ones are, and you know that they'll not be able to compromise, and so and not compromising, then they say they have the nerve to say in the news or to say in that article that oh, they're giving Hawaii a chance, they're giving the state a chance to do something about replacing those cats. That's not the state. responsibility.
Well, they get
responsibility in the first place to get rid of the breeding cats. People didn't want to see breeding cats. They fixed them. That's another way of doing it. It's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not wrong. It reduces the chance of toxoplasmosis, reduces the chance of rats killing the native species and all the other diseases that rats spread. At least they're doing that and not breeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that one of the other problem, one of the main problems, is that looking at the composition of the structure of the DLNR and its purpose, the role that it served, our forefathers didn't have it right, didn't get it right. This agency is so conflicted, and the rules are so convoluted. I mean, this is the same. This, well, yeah, that too, but. This is, and we're going to take a break, Charlotte. This is an agency that is tasked with, one, controlling alien, quote, alien species and introduced species. But on the other hand, this is the same agency that is responsible for enhancing the hunting opportunities, which is most or all of them are alien species, the pigs, the goats, the sheep. So it's conflicted, just to start with that. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. You want to call in at 524-9510 or 528-4181. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you.
Swinging her hips, splitting up a bag of potato chips. And three cool cats do three big flips for three cool chicks. Yeah, three cool chicks. Well, about the first cool cat he
said, my, look at that. Man, do you see what I see? Well, I want that middle chick.
I want that little chick.
Yeah, man, see a little chick for me.
Hey. Well, the three cool chicks. Three cool chicks. Well, they look like angels from up above. And three cool cats really fell in love. But three cool chicks made three fools of. Three cool cats. Three cool cats.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. That was Mr. Raccoon. He's now deceased. And I recorded that with his permission. That was his, as he described it, his gift to me. I recorded that as he played there just outside of the White House grounds a couple of years back. So Raccoon is his name. Anyway, we're talking about cats, monkeys, and DLNR, and the rat race. 524-9510 is a number you can call, or 528-4181. Feel free to call in if you have any comments. Now, going back, digressing a bit, after all that blow up or what have you, before we adopted or inherited the great fortune and the great strategies of Mr. Dan Dennison, I'm reading an article here where just shortly, I guess, on the heels of the young African-American man that ended up, unfortunately, killing the people and himself, the reporters. And he worked for Dan, and Dan boasted he hired him and fired him and had some lot to say, and it caught my eyes and my ears when Dan, because when you experience a person's behavior, it sticks with you when you are treated unfairly, I'm not supporting the gentleman that is dead now or killed himself and killed the others, and don't bother to write me and say I shouldn't have even talked about it, because it won't matter. But just back in March 19th of 2015, and I've had contact with Dan Dennison as far back as February 8th, 2016. I wrote him, "Aloha, Dan. Thank you for your reply. I'm curious to know why you believe it is necessary to admonish me on every occasion you communicate with me. Your behavior suggests you believe you must put me in my place, so to speak. I believe you can do better." And then that basically is what we say in Mississippi. It's code word for you're treating me in a disparate way. And so lay off or else I get mad. And that's just not nice. Civil rights and your respect. But step back and look at the makeup of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And look at the ethnicity and the top levels and all. And you'll ask yourself, they're not reaching out to work with you or help you or do anything. It's you. They dictate, and that's it. You look at how they treated the water. Many things, Hawaiian homelands and state historic preservation concerns and all. How do they, the Iwi Kupuna. So, you know, for those of you that are running up, all of a sudden adopting this tactic of we got to do this and protect that, step back a moment. You're befriending someone that's ripping you off across the board. I'm not saying you shouldn't be cordial and be friendly, but I'm thinking I'd like to see many of you out there fighting about getting Hawaiians off the street and forcing the state to use the lands use it properly and distribute the land properly and fight for that. Where were you on those issues? There are people, little Hawaiian children that are homeless, sleeping on the beach. Fight for that. Raise your voice. But no, when there's someone throwing nickels and dimes at you for a bounty, as some of you have been writing, and you're going to do this and do that, and cats need to go. Well, what about our little Keiki? What about the children? What about the homeless when there's thousands and thousands of acres of land being rented to outsiders, as you talk about Howley's being responsible for the cats? Well, ask yourself, if you're worried about the fate of the people of Hawaii, look inward and say to yourself, why is it that a person can rent state land for a dollar for 99 years or some absurd amount such as that? And how is it that they're renting a lot of the Hawaiian homelands and polluting and contaminating land? And I don't see you warriors out there on that. Hell, man, I could use a reinforcement. While I was out there doing that, I was getting hit upside the head and near murdered and my house blown up. Where are you? But you want 40 cents per head per ear per cat? Is that where you're coming from? I mean, you have a right to speak out and challenge people on Facebook and all that. But let me pull your coattail and ask you, what are you really fighting for? You introduce this alien and this native species dialogue. But what is really important, don't be suckered in by the Suzanne Case and anybody else. Ask her, what did she do with the millions that they got to get rid of the seaweed, the invasive seaweed in Mauna Loa Bay? Ask her if it's all gone. Ask her where she spend the money. So just know that there's a game being played here. And the cats and any other species should not be just mutilated and inhumanely treated. so that they can effectively get grant money. And that's what it's about, because they are not committed to it. She probably be gone when Ige is voted out this term. She's going to be gone, hopefully, or when we file our letter asking the mayor, the governor, to ask for Mr. Dennison's resignation, and carry Suzanne Case along with you. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, Carol. It's Tina Quizon. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, I should say good morning, actually. It's morning where you are. You know, I'm glad you're creating this dialogue, and I know it might be a little bit hard for people to find, trying to figure out how does the cat in this dialogue, but a lot of what you're saying is the temperature of the nation. You know, Dan Dennison seems to have no moral compass, no boundaries. You know, you were reading some of the news stories, and people were asking. Other people in the industry and viewers were saying, you know, this is fake news. What's the significance? Why are you giving credence to this? The stories, a lot of them, this is creating, it's hurtful and dividing the community,
mm-hmm.
creating hate. Why would you need to do a story about a statue that someone has dressed up a monkey to look like Obama? Some of the comments I read was, where's the credence in this? Why would you give this venue
mm-hmm.
to be talked about? That it's sensationalism, and now this is a sitting person. And as I've seen on the Facebook, he has a pattern of attacking people that question why he's doing things. And then if you look at, like, the FCC, he was so disingenuous when he spoke back on his Facebook to Jim Roman Nesko. That was the July 13, 2012. Dan Dennison started attacking him because he was questioning, you know, the moral compass. How do you have such a blazing disregard as the news director for the protection of children and violate the FCC laws about sexually explicit and indecent news?
Mm-hmm.
Story.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for all that work you did and getting all the documents and finding, because we're presented with a Dan Dennison that we think is the person who came from, was dipped in honey and sugar and all that, and he's this person. But in reality, he has a track record that is calls into question. He assaults a female. There is a allegations and all from a person that resorted to violence in the sickest way. And then he gets to stand up and be interviewed. And I do notice that one story was done by one of the TV stations here, and all it was said was that he used to work for two TV stations here, when it should have been stated as a claim, you know, what do you call it, disclosure, that he worked for this station and another, KHON. So it's that kind of, you know, and when you employ these tactics and you start scratching at me, then I'm scratching back. And so this is, I thank you for picking up the phone back there 6 hours later or earlier and helping me look into this and gather these documents, because they're quite, they're eye-openers for sure. And I believe that based on what I'm seeing and the manner in which things are being handled in other manners, that Mr. Dennison should be asked to resign.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like the news station where he was, they actually demoted him. So there was definitely more things going on. When you're creating sensationalism and you're creating stories that people are saying, you know, this seems like a racist story.
Right.
A monkey statue with Obama's face, and what I couldn't believe when I seen Dan Dennison had put that on his Facebook, recommending Facebook viewers, people to read this.
Yeah, but he made a mistake and said he just, oh, shoot, I hit like.
But it was his face and story. He's the news director.
Yeah, he but you see, you know, the rest of the world is not supposed to think like that and see these things. These are in a perfect world that you're presenting. You're not supposed to see that, Tina.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then, like, July 13th, you know, he's attacking that gentleman the same way I see the pattern of him attacking you.
Well, he's not attacking me. He's just making a fatal mistake, you know, because I have nothing but time on my hand and thanks. And then Tina at my back to hustle, going and help me research. So I invite him to throw more, because then we will have reason and get a sensible person in there that speaks to the people, work with the people, and present the facts, and not when people speak freely as they're allowed to and legally allowed to constitutionally, First Amendment. Then it's not his job to go out and assault us. His job is to, if we're inaccurate, then deal with us in a way that present the facts, right? But
absolutely. Yeah. And that's what was so telltelling about, he's always writing the word be accurate, and yet the very news story that the FCC fined him for, he wasn't transparent and accurate when he attacked Jim on the July 13th, 2012 response.
Right. So 3 weeks after, this is an article in the adweek.com. The date is August 26, 2013. 3 weeks after losing news director job, Dan Dennison leaves WDBJ. And after being replaced as news director at last month and moving to the role of features reporter, Dan Dennison has called it quits at the Roanoke, Virginia CBS. And as a result of that, shortly thereafter, he indicates that 2014, January or February somewhere, he became an employee of the Department of Land and Natural Resources Communications. But there's some conflicting things, and we can't trust everything we see. We'll try and confirm later and by requesting formally documents on his travel and what have you. But it suggests that he's in two places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how one can, for example, on that matter at where he's talking about the lady being the former porn star, in Facebook says, Dan Dennison, Senior Communications Manager at Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. The date that this was written was July 13, 2012. So I don't know, and maybe there's something about Facebook that I don't understand, but again, how would he be writing in 2012 that he's the communication specialist? But then my guess is that this is a comment that someone wrote on July 13, 2012. So we're going to try to ask for clarification as to when was he hired. And the concerns are, we were contacted, someone read the Facebook and suggested that we ask to look at his expenses, because some say that he was quite absent. So I would hate to think that it's possible he was employed up until August or July of 2013 and was also working here. So I don't know. We won't speak to that as fact, but we will, you know, especially when we're dealing with someone that accuses us not being factual and fake news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think maybe you should send him a note and say that, Mr. Dennison, I'm more interested in all of this because you are a descendant of Harry Beecher Stowe, am I correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know who he's messing with. So,
and for people out there that aren't familiar with her work, she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And actually couldn't even reveal at first that she, you know, was a woman. she was writing things in a surname, and she went through great details to try to expose the wrongs to black people in America.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, on here it says he's, this is, and I don't trust all of this. This seemed to be, was government, his, what would we call this, job, list of jobs he was held, Dan Dennison, government communications and broadcast news executive, Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources, and experience as senior, and he started there, he's saying January 24th, 2014 to present, 3 years and 9 months. So we'll take, but anyway, he was at June 2011 through August 2013, 2 years and 3 months at Roanoke, Virginia, for the director of market leading South Virginia CBS. But anyway, that's the Obama is a monkey video, and the quote news story is rather concerning that he would post that up and do it as a news story. And what we found in any of the records, there's an overwhelming disagreement that it even had newsworthiness, correct?
And that some were even more concerned because reports are showing, even though it wasn't in the video, that above the monkey and with the mask of Obama on it was a Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm. And then he's advocating, as news director, he's building that story and airing it. So there's some concerns that we have here now. And we've been concerned the way he's been behaving anyway. But now that this is happening, what else is he allowed to do? Especially on the Suzanne case, he have a leash, a very long leash, and is not much constraint or being restrained. So, okay, anything else?
No, I just really am glad you're bringing this out in a dialogue. I think it reflects a lot of what people are trying to talk about that gets ignored or told that, you're just a whiner.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that the level that people will go with no boundaries and, like I said, no moral compass, and it's hurtful to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurtful to the kids and to individuals and women, and I think people need to look into who he is, and this shows a very strong pattern of disruptive fake news that really there's no use for it. That's what people were saying. There's no significance. It's not newsworthy. So why would you even indulge and give credence? So thank you, Carol, for letting me share a little bit of my thoughts. And
all righty. Well, thank you. And thank you for all your help on that, getting those documents. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. So, many of you out there, we're so sensitized now that the least mentioning of anything to do with these issues, we get a little nervous and weak in the knees and think that the wrong thing is going to be said, and some people are already predisposed as to if a person raised the issue of race, then he's weak and feeble-minded, and there you go again. But the reality is, just like anything, all things are possible. And I have to keep saying that with Dan Dennison, I am concerned because he has so much relationship to these issues, and these are people issues. And if he is exhibiting these ultra conservative, I don't even think that it's extreme when you would, as a news director, go out of your way and build a story to impugn the integrity of a person or a young lady. So that's a woman. And you impugn the integrity of her. And you cause harm, in a sense, to her. And then, in turn, you have an African-American working for you. And for whatever reason, I'm not blaming anyone, but it results in violence, the sickest form of violence. And then you, on your watch, and then you make monkey movies, and then you say that of the president of these United States, you put on the evening news these images accompanied by comments that Obama is a monkey. And then in turn, you find your way to represent the people of the state of Hawaii, where there may be concerns, where there's concerns with the destruction of Hawaiian artifacts, cultural concerns and all, and you don't speak up for them because you're already believing that we're just in the way. The way you come across the women and minorities are something that's just in the way, if you want my observation, you want my opinion. And the way you've treated myself personally, you write a simple letter going, I would like to request these documents, and then I will get this nonsensical letter, or, well, you need to do this, and it's like, my God, at 64 years old, I'm having to be held by the hand, and this is probably my 19,000 requests for information. But all of a sudden, he comes to town, and voila, I can't write, read, or talk, and I have to do it a certain way. I guess I should, for Dan Dennison, I should go, well, sir, you know, could I have this, please? Maybe that's go shuffling or something of that nature. Then I would probably be welcome. But it's scary that how fleeting the truth is and respect for others is escaping this gentleman, Dan Dennison. And I say that because of what we have now as a record. And we'll continue to look and see what it is, the FCC fining his former station for the $325,000. Usually it's $7,000 or something like that, but this was so injurious. So, anyway, when you have a person that has that much time on their hand and that much freedom, you end up getting someone that is willing to do anything because they love the freedom and it's unchecked. And so if someone wants him to lie, then he'll more than likely lie. If someone wants him to do whatever to cover up or block the access to public records and public records requests. So there is something to be said about this cat thing is just a part of the pie. The Department of Land and Natural Resources, as I alluded to in the early hour, in the closing, the Department of Land and Natural Resources is tasked with also issuing hunting licenses, enforcing hunting rules, and it says a lot about the conflict and the willingness to just go at it and turn a blind eye to all of this and a deaf ear to all of it and say that if you are a conservation agency, then, and you are managing alien species and introduced species or, and then you're bringing them in and then managing them in areas, gallinaceous birds that might compete with eat the native plants and what have you, but you're putting them there for hunting. And don't bother to call me up and say, well, you know, you're against hunting. No, it didn't say that. This is about standing back and saying to you that if it's going to be fixed, you got to acknowledge what's broken. And so this thing called the Department of Land and Natural Resources is woefully, woefully underfunded, and it's treated as if it's a stepchild with all of the important things that it is responsible for. water, land, the forest, the fish, all of that, 3 miles out, all of that is under their purview. But if you have an agency that is lacking and is not committed to protecting and trying to meet its mission statement or satisfy its mission statement, then if you say that, well, our job is to increase the resources or maintain the resources so that people can take them and kill them and eat them, and to do that, and then you're also responsible for enforcing the law and the method of take. And recently there was talking about the cats and all, but there was an incident about the goats in Waianae of many places. And they told, they being DLNR, told some of the community members that and hunters that they were not going to kill certain animals in a certain time frame, and something went wrong, or they didn't tell them and went ahead and shot them from the air. Now, let's take a look at this, and maybe this will help some of you understand, and even for myself, I get a little frustrated just thinking it'll never change, so we end up in a squabble that's going to continue forever unless we step back and fix things. And that is, you have a limit on the number of goats that you allow to hunter, or when you can take them, or a limit on gallinaceous birds, or quail, dove, whatever. You have a limit. But then you come back and you say, well, okay, we have too many now. We got to go back and protect the watershed, so we'll shoot them from the air. I'm not advocating for hunting. I mean, I personally used to hunt, and someone said, this is where you can really draw bad conclusions with bad information. I used to hunt, and I grew up hunting. But I'm happy now that when I go to bed, I'm still dealing with some demons. And those demons are, you wake up and you've just killed something. And that's something I'm dealing with, getting over that. It's nothing bad, it's nothing good. That's what you're taught to do. And then you find yourself lying, telling the big lie. I'm doing this for food, when the reality is, you passed up several grocery stores and you spent thousands of dollars on guns and ammunition and uniform hunting equipment and all of that, and gasoline and a 4Runner and all of that to get there. So we lie to ourselves to justify. And we don't think about, we say that it's healthy, it's the best food, but it depends on what you are dealing with, because selenium, for example, build up in the hindquarters of a deer, and that's not good for human health. So this DLNR, you shouldn't be surprised that we have these kinds of rules where now they want to come and shoot the cats or trap the cats. But they stepped over the mongoose, they stepped over wild dogs, they passed by thousands and thousands of bulbuls, majiros, these are birds, cardinals, Brazilian, northern cardinals, pigeons, doves. And what do? You're the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Do you just have a massive kill on everything? So what has happened is we now see this crisis. And it's going to get worse because, and it's amplified because we've built on everything that's flat. And any land that is vacant, just hold your breath for 5 minutes and you'll pass out, wake up, and find that there's another building. So our government does not know how to say no. Our legislators does not know how to legislate to protect these natural resources. We talk about watershed, but we don't treat the watersheds with any respect. We just, the whole thing is the practice of, we talk about fire trucks and coming and washing down gasoline. Where does that run to? Storm drains. All of that. Everything in the state of Hawaii seems to be done without considering the impacts that they'll have on this fragile and limited resource, the environment. So that's why we end up with these situations where there's people arguing, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a contract and I'm going to kill the cats and I'm going to do that. And it might be all good for you, but you're not serving any good purpose, because people say that if you kill the cats, the rats are going to come. Well, I got news for you. The rats are already coming because the people are nasty. You go down and look in any trash can. Look near any trash can. The human beings, like you and I, we're so filthy and disrespectful to the earth that it's as if we're mad and pissed off at the earth because it did us wrong, something. Because when you go down to Sand Island Park and you see the camping and the impact, they talk about birds being coming back to the land and these open areas. Look, you have illegal storage of construction equipment, illegal storage of chemicals, many of them on state properties, illegal dumping, and all of that. And then we turn and look at the cat and go, oh, we got to do something about that. We got to do something about that. But you haven't seen any legislation. You haven't seen one game warden. You haven't seen anybody in the Department of Land and Natural Resources to go out and lift a finger at all the trash or the pilikia and the contaminants that are being left alongside the roads, in the streams, in vacant areas, and in state lands. You don't. So that's why I take the stance, and I'm hoping that this situation with the cats will serve as a catalyst, believe it or not, to bring this agency and our legislators and our governor and anybody else in with authority, bring them to the knees and to realization that if you continue to manage it in parts, and then you move by, well, the federal government has money, so if we were to, let's say, sign this agreement, this memorandum of agreement, and we'll get some money under the Endangered Species Act or the Marine Mammal Act, and we will, so what we'll do, we'll sign the agreement, and they'll give us $1 million, NOAA will give us $1 million to do marine mammal work. And then you get marine mammal work, okay. You find officers at the end of the month or whenever just riding in. Drive by a monk seal laying a mile away. Oh, did some endangered species marine mammal time. And then they go on off the business. And this is tolerated by the agency. As long as they make their reports and NOAA get the report on time, they wouldn't give a damn if they got out of their car and looked at the monk seal or if it had a hook or anything. So this system is so broken. And when I say broken, it invites. And these proposals like killing other cats. Yeah, it really does. The system is so fragmented. You have the Department of Health protecting the environment. You have the Department of Health Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch. They speak a foreign language, and the DLNR speaks a foreign language. The Aquatics Division, I would venture to say, when the State Health Department finds contaminants in the water, it's rare that the State Aquatics Division will be called or summoned. it's rare that even if you walk in the door at the Department of Health, for example, and I know this is a different deal in our, and you go into the solid and hazardous waste branch and you say, this material was dumped here illegally, and it could be a 15,000 pounds of it, loose in powder form, hazardous to humans and health of the environment and birds and what have you, deleterious to the creatures and in the stream. So you could have that, and they'll look at it, and right next door could be the Clean Air Branch, and you're concerned that this material is in an area where it's on the beach, in the bushes, and the Clean Air Branch, you have to go, as a reporter, to go and report that to the Clean Air Branch, rather than the Clean Air Branch being automatically informed by the Solid Waste Branch. That's how badly broken this situation is. So then, when you hire an expert such as Dan Dennison, who clearly can whip up a story and block and bridge and block the interests of people and assault their public right to their rights to speak or write and express themselves, you're trying to survive in a system that's broken. And this DLNR should have a website. Do you know that if you try to write the governor straight an email and you ask for his email, you can get everything but that? I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't know. But what does an email do if you want to be in touch with the people? Have someone that will screen them, write them, read them, pass them on. That's what you do with the rest of the stuff. So what I would say in conclusion is that nothing is done properly here. It's all about money. They wait for grants. The federal government wags its tail. It waves money because it fails to hire the adequate number of investigators or agents or inspectors. And so it has a job, a task, a monumental task to do its job, but they know it's not going to do. So they take money and they throw it and they wave it. And then here comes the state health department wanting more money, and EPA gives them more money. But then EPA does not stand there and say, well, but if we give you this money, we want to see a product. The EPA, in many instances with the health department, for example, gives the money and does not even worry or concern itself with if they even hired someone. And in many cases, there were 70 positions funded and less than 20%, and I might stand to be corrected, not much more. Well, those positions were filled, but where is the money? So I hope that I'm offering this to say that it's not the cats. And these arguments that I see the exchanging, get informed. If you partner up with the state, you're part of a complicated cover-up. If you stick with the people and talk with them and those people that manage this, don't try to dictate to them what it is that you think they should do. You don't like any of the cats. Because the reality is, you're never going to nip it in the bud unless you work together. And someone wrote me an email, and they were pissed off. I mean, like, how dare you? In fact, I received three or four of them. You are an environmentalist. You should be caring, and you should be doing this. And, you know, it's like, well, okay. I'm at fault for telling you that it is a saddest sight when you go into a park and all you hear is this chorus in the state and people that are against the cats. Oh, they need to get rid of the cats. But I've been hearing that song for the last 29 years. And nobody in the government will stop and divest themselves of their superior attitudes. Because, and I say that in a condescending fashion, because, you know, these are the same people where science was applied, and they brought us to mongoose. It was going to control the rats. And you know the story, where rats... Rats are active during the night primarily. Mongoose, they're active during the day. But the argument was it'll control the rats. We brought cattle egrets in. We brought the barn owl in. And we brought many other species in. Go and ask yourself and ask the farmers. The Majiro there's been an effort to try and reduce their population or try to get rid of them. Remember that campaign? It didn't work. We have more Majiros now than ever. So every 5 years come along, a Suzanne Case with the fancy idea is going to kill everything and solve the problem, exterminate. And that's going to fix it. And the feds say, well, if you don't do something, we will. Well, that would be a blessing. You see, because the state, there's so many obstacles. And just an example, your officers that work for the Department of Land and Natural Resources, many of them have little or no, and I've said this a couple of times, conservation knowledge. They don't know the theories or the practices or concerns of ecosystems and identification of species and symbiotic relationships and how various species relates to one another and how they can impact one another and how birds can be just as deadly on bird population, native birds, than any bird. The alcoo, the night heron, the black-crowned night heron, is very aggressive and consume many of endangered water birds, and as well as any other bird. They will raid a nest, whether the nest is in a coconut tree, a palm tree, or wherever. The alcoo will eat birds. And we'll eat, just doesn't care. In fact, we probably prefer an endangered species because it's rare taste. But they eat their young. And once again, there's been an effort to wipe out mallards because the mallards breed in with the native species. But the long list goes on and on and on. And so you talk about the DLNR and all this emphasis and pitting people against one another and barring the native element and inserting it now to say, well, you know, they're not native. I got one clue for you. Streetlights. Fix those. How many times, and many of you, if you can recall, how many times have you seen the shearwater, the rear-legged birds, rear-footed birds, that are laying on the street? Because they go below the lights, now they can't see beyond the lights to look up. And so why isn't DLNR, how many birds get smashed by cars on the street per year? Seabirds, protected birds. How many? Where is the growl about that? Well, see, that's not going to be a grant there, see. They can't farm it out to their friends. That's a matter of just straight, you put a pole up, that's how much it costs. You can't finagle it and you can't claim and hire nephews and nieces and give your friends jobs and what have you. Yeah. So I asked that in the hope that you could contact the governor and ask him to not sign that bill or that ordinance or that measure, because it's fruitless. There's nothing good that's going to come of it. It's going to be a squabble between people getting contracts or what have you, and the nerve of them to say, we're going to wait to 2019 to start it. I thought the cats were eating birds so rapidly that it was necessary to start right now. You know, it's not like we're buying a new refrigerator and the cutoff date is to return the old ones. Is a 2000. We're talking about life. We're talking about measures of. So that's why I question this process. It's something that is ill-conceived, poorly informed people that have hidden agendas, that see the money bag, see what it is, and there are people. One wrote and said he went over to the Lehua Island, where they disperse the poison. And now, if I were to go and ask him, could we go? No, but this is a potential contractor who's boasting publicly that this is what he's going to charge for the killing of cats. So I think the best thing to do is to ask the governor to pass that, to reject that bill, that measure, do not sign it, ask to have Suzanne Case resign, and ask to have Dan Dennison resign, and give it to someone that is Akamai or knowledgeable of the Hawaiian way and the Hawaiian culture, that don't rely on fright and fight, but just truly concerned with the well-being of Hawaii. Enough already. I've heard more theories and more strategies and more approaches and more money tossed at these various projects till it's sickening in my 28, 29 years being here. And we go round in a circle, and I see the same faces show up when there's a contract to be let out or when there's a grant to be had. That's what this is about. So don't get suckered in. Think about the betterment of Hawaii and its people and its resources. Then we can have a good argument. So we'll see you next week. And thank you for joining. And this is the Carol Cox Show. Go to carolcox.com if you like to, and read the FCC's decision on Dan Dennison and the radio station. Or go to Carol Cox Facebook, and you can see the video of the news story that Mr. Dennison produced as a news director. I would say that I'd have the one of the young lady, but we won't do that. We don't have access to that, nor would we do it. But the FCC report is there. So, and now we have the pleasure of him working and informing us. He being Mr. Dan Dennison. But we'll keep you informed, so thank you, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Let me in, baby. I can feel good all over again. sitting here licking my paw. Well, you know that I'm not a dreamer, but I want to strike your back with my claw.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.